very glad to have Dr. Adonna Otwell with us today. That's my sister. Amen. And years ago, she was wondering if she ought to go for a doctoral program. She had a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. And I told her, I said, you don't have a husband, you don't have children. There's nothing keeping you from that. Go for it. And she did. Amen. That was many years ago now, but my sister served the Lord in ministry and been powerfully used of God, teaching at Nelson University, as well as preaching and ministering in many churches. And she's a woman that's anointed of God, and I want her to come and preach the Word of God to us today. Praise the Lord.
And I, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but rather in demonstration of the Spirit and a power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of mere men, but rather in the power of God. Well, welcome to Labor Day weekend, Sunday 2026, on our nation's epic 250th year celebration. They told us to celebrate all year, so I still am. And this weekend we honor the struggles and achievements of workers in our still free country and our veterans who have laid down their lives for you. You're going to see flags flying this weekend. And most critical thing that you can do is vote on November the 3rd. If you need to write that down, do that. As you want us to not be a communist country. And it's always easy for me to remember Labor Day because it's happy birthday to my exceptional, as the scripture says, wonder of God, brother. The Bible says a brother is born for adversity, and you are a constant strength to me. And every prayer you say for me, Brother Ken, does something. And I was helped for a lifetime the day you were born, 25 years ago. Okay, Psalm 39:5 says, your age is nothing to him. So if anybody asks you what your age, you tell them it's nothing. That's what God calls it. And, you don't turn off the switch to the call to preach at any age. And no wonder they carried Mariah Woodworth Eder, the grandmother of Pentecost, on a stretcher to the platform at age 80, and she preached off of a bed and the sick were healed. Praise the Lord. And it's great to be back in beautiful East Texas in my second home church, I'll call it, with the best of the best pastors. And I was looking back at notes. I was with you a year and 3 months ago on Pentecost Sunday 2025. And I remember that day when we put the devil under our feet. We're going to do it again today. Can I get a witness? I want to thank your stellar pastors, Reverend Ken and First Lady Norma, for this honor of invitation. I consider it a sacred responsibility. My brother is the only pastor I've ever known who, and he wouldn't want me to say this, but anyway, he's so humble. He's the only one I've ever known who sometimes gets so caught up in reading, he reads the entire Bible through three times a year. I happen to know he reads five chapters in the morning, he reads five chapters at night before he goes to bed. And his son back there, Nathan's good to see him and his family. He walks in that same direction of loving the Word of God. I watched him as a child. The God-breathed Word, you know, is potent therapy for all of our brains daily. And these are the only persons, pastors, that I know who've had a prayer meeting in the church every Saturday night for around 40 years. And sometimes when I was there, when only the two of them showed up to pray. But they've been faithful to model the prayer meeting before their church because they want a move of God in this place. Does anybody else want that here? And with all the fasting and the Bible reading and the praying going on, I believe this thing will break wide open one of these days. You could have visitors coming from a long way off to a spontaneous revival. And I believe in miracles. And it's a miracle that Christy Mercer is alive today, and Sister Ann Harper as well. And there's an undertow going on in this church here. It's like kind of like a spiritual riptide. And I want to thank you all for being the best to our family and not running from an accident 21 years ago to have a miracle in your pulpit today. You are one church I will never forget for your top shelf kindness to let my family stay. And thank you for the encouraging notes and text messages that you send to them. Keep those coming as God puts it in your mind. God keeps good records on the ministry of encouragement that people in this church have. And I cannot say enough good things about this model, substantive, missions-focused church. And thank you for coming every service and supporting the work of God. You will be rewarded soon. And also, Brother Kevin, he really blessed me. I got in on part of the Sunday school, and thank you for the Word of God. We must have people studying the Word of God if we're going to hold on to what we have. Thank you for still having Sunday school. And it's good to see familiar faces and dear friends. Thank all of you for coming. It's a surprise to me to see Nathan and Brittany and all the kids this morning. What a blessing you are. Kanan and Livy and Miles, you guys are just the best. And I got cheated out Christmas when there was sickness hitting, but I got rewarded this morning. It's also good to see Adrian and is Kara. There you are, Kara. Nikki and Sharon Flores. When I walked in this morning, I saw Sharon Flores. I thought, am I in Waxahachie? Because she leads worship there and plays. And I'm like, oh, I hope I'm in the right church here. Deja vu. But anyway, it's so good to see Nolan, and we're praying for your miracle and that you get to school. We got a place for you. And good to see Asher and Bristol and Jordan and Tristan and Isaiah and all. Actually, five of these kids were baptized in the Holy Spirit at the Acts 6-4 conference a few years ago. And it was such a blessing when the minister, he testified that he got filled with the Holy Ghost when he was a little child. I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 7. I recommend it to everybody. And all these kids that night, one by one, they got filled. And they came over laying on their hands on their brothers and sisters. It was a beautiful sight. And it's so good to have them, honored to have you here in the service, all of you today. And I want to thank Cheryl and Scott Tolles for helping me so much with the media this morning. I have a few ministry products. If during the lunchtime, if you want anything, I can go out to the car and get you anything. I have a few new PC Nelson University logo freebies, including some wristbands. So all of you youth, be sure and hit me up, and we'll get you a wristband. If you want to be turning with me in your Bibles to John chapter 8, I was thinking this morning I saw cops stopping people, and I thought I better stay on it because the speed limits are changing here everywhere. And I was remembering about this. You might want to stay seated a minute because I got a few more things to say here. I'm just giving you a head start. But I was thinking about this cop, and he stopped this lady, and he said, "Ma'am, do you have a gun?" And she said, "Yes, I've got one under my seat, and I've got one between these two seats, and there's one under the passenger seat." And he said, "Ma'am, what are you afraid of?" And she said, "Nothing." So I had it down here to go over to the piano and sing Happy Birthday to Ken, but I don't think you want to hear me play or sing either one. So y'all sing it to him when you see him. Okay, just as a word of encouragement, I feel like I'm supposed to say this to you again this morning. The devil is not attacking you because you're weak. The devil is attacking you because you are a threat. Because there's something valuable inside you. Remember, thieves don't try to break into empty houses. The devil couldn't take you out, so he's trying to wear you out. So don't you ever give in, because the tide is about to turn in your favor. God knows you're tired. He knows you're trying. Put him first. Trust him. He will make a way, even when you aren't sure of the outcome. You can be sure of your God. Hallelujah. He is with you, and he is for you, and he's working all things together for your good. God cares. I'm going to get you to repeat after me what you'll see up here on the screen, and I'm not going to ask you to do anything silly. I'm not into nonsense, okay? But say this after me. What he cannot do, what he cannot fix, what he cannot solve, does not exist. Now I want you to put it into high gear, and I want you to give it all you got. Let it thunder in here. Repeat after me. What he cannot do, there you go. What he cannot fix, what he cannot solve, does not exist. Hallelujah. So let God arise and let his enemies be scattered in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, a few days ago, these things just started coming to me, and I started just writing them down. And so you can take it for whatever it's worth, but this is what came to me. I felt like I was impressed by the Spirit. You're about to see things on the screen you have never seen before. You're about to hear news narrative you have never heard. You're about to try to process things you have never tried to process before. Get ready to begin to try to assimilate events building up to the Great Tribulation, which will officially begin just after the church raptures and is snatched off of this earth suddenly. You are now in your sudden death overtime mercy days, unmerited favor days, the extra warning days, the last chance to get ready days. Most of the church in America is hypnotized by distractions. She is sleepwalking. She's comatose. She's on life support. The rapture is the only thing that will awaken professing optional spiritual things Christians. Professing Christians are about to get the jolt of their lives. They will tremble and quake. Their insides will quiver uncontrollably. Knees will buckle. The will of man will melt like wax. Many will have strokes and heart attacks. I wish we'd all been ready. Watch, everybody. It is going to happen. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's leaving time. Tell everybody I know, goodbye for me. Today, the rapture is prophecy. Next, the rapture will be reality. Then, the rapture will be history. What then? As you can tell, I'm not running for a popularity contest. I'll just do a hit and run today. Then, after I had put that down, I realized it this week. I saw something on the screen I'd never seen before, and actually it was an Iranian politician dropped dead in the podium giving his speech. Would you put that on there, Cheryl? His last words were, Israel will not escape the wrath of Allah. And he dropped dead. In John chapter 8, in verse number 32, it says, if you want to stand for the reading of the word, that's fine. Red letters indicating that Jesus spoke this. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The title of this message is The Price Tag on Your Freedom. Let us pray. And I still feel like there's somebody in here needs a healing in their body. Right now, we'll do this Smith Wigglesworth style. If you need a healing in your body, put your hand on that part of your body or even on your head. If you need a miracle right now, and for those of you online watching, just put your hand on yourself, and we're going to pray for the sick as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, with your stripes we are healed. Himself bear our sicknesses. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Unto them that fear my name, and these do, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And I pray that you'd look at these now, Lord, with your eyes that are a flame of fire, and say, I will be thou made whole. Lord, you took 39 excruciating lashes so we could pray for the sick. Your back was plowed with furrows. And Lord, I ask you right now to impart to us the faith of Christ, the faith that Jesus had when he prayed for the sick. And I pray that you'd use people in this room right now in the gift of healing, the gift of faith, the gift of miracles. Lord, online and on site, I ask you to heal people this moment. And I pray that from this hour on, they would begin to amend, and that as they go, they would be healed by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. And Lord, I ask for an uncommon anointing of the Holy Ghost upon me this morning. I am nothing, you're everything. Take nothing and use it for your glory. Show me how to decrease more and more so that you may increase more and more. And I pray that you'd pierce all of our hearts today with your truth, and it would stick with us. And I ask you, Lord, to baptize believers in the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, to forgive sins and heal sick bodies here. Accompany your word with signs following. And I pray that Jesus would be glorified and the devil would be horrified in this service. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I already feel the Holy Ghost in here. The price tag on your freedom. And so, as we continue to celebrate our 250th birthday on this patriotic weekend, as you know, in 1776, that the Declaration of Independence was signed, and 56 of the signers made some unbelievable sacrifices, laying down their lives for the freedom that we enjoy to get to be in this house this morning. And one of them actually worked in Congress for no pay the entire time he was working there. So we celebrate our freedom, but there's been a continuing great price tag on this freedom that we enjoy this weekend. And this is an epic Labor Day weekend because of the 250th anniversary. In World War II, roughly 220,000 died and 38,000 were disabled. In the Korean War, 33,000 plus died and 600,000 were disabled. In the Vietnam War, 58,000 died and 304,000 were disabled. In the Iraq War, 4,800 died and 32,000 were disabled. In Afghanistan, 2,345 died and 5,725 were disabled. And in the Iranian conflict that we're in right now, I believe, I don't have exact numbers on this, I believe 18, 15, somewhere in that neighborhood have died. And then some people in this room have actually paid for our freedom to get to go to church this morning. And we owe them much gratitude. How many of you have served in the armed forces? Would you stand up for just a moment? Let me see how many veterans that we have in here. If you've served, would you stand? All of you, would you give them a hand? Thank you so much for the freedoms that we enjoy. You paid a horrendous price, and we honor you today. I'll mention a couple more. My brother, Dennis, he served in the Army for 2 years. My dad served in the Army for 3 years. And I might mention someone else. But let me just mention my dad. My dad said that when he was in the Pacific, he was on a ship, and their ship was about to be hit by a suicide bomber in an airplane. And Daddy saw it coming. They told them to hit the deck. And so my dad said he did. It was an extremely hot day. The deck was metal. Daddy said, I felt the sweat dripping off of my face and sizzling as it hit the metal deck. And he said, I knew I was fixing to die because I saw the plane coming. And he said, my whole life passed before my eyes. He said, I saw everything from my childhood to that moment. All passed, and he said, I knew I was fixing to die. And he said, I looked up, and he said, I saw one of those gunners on that ship, and he pointed that gun toward that suicide plane, and he said he shot it, and that thing fell down in the water beside my dad's ship, And that's the reason I'm here today. That's the reason he's here today. Thank God for all of you who have served so ably. I was thinking of another man, the late Bert Clendenin. He graduated from high school in 1940, and then a year later, Pearl Harbor was bombing and was bombed and bringing America into the war. And so he immediately joined the Marines. And when they came ashore, the artillery began to rain down on that beach, and the overhead bombers were dropping death and destruction. And for the next 30 months, Bert Clendenin lived in a foxhole. Can you imagine that? A hole in the ground, sleeping there every night. And his foxhole was his home, and his normal everyday meal for 30 months was fish heads. Out of 11,000 men that went in with him, only 80 of them walked out. The rest were either killed or disabled. And so in 1946, he left the military, and he went out to work in the oil rigs. And he married a lady, and during the early years of their marriage, he was hitting the drink hard. Maybe somebody in here or online, maybe you got that problem, but Jesus will deliver you and set you free. And he tried to give up drinking, but he could not. And he loved the girl he married, but it put a great strain on their marriage with all the abuse that was going on. Sometimes she wouldn't see him for 2 to 3 days. And when a baby son came along, the thought of him growing up to be like his dad, drinking, was too much for her. And she was so abused, she had had enough. So she told him she was leaving. And he had never heard the gospel before. And that night, as he drove to work, not knowing if there was a God or not, he prayed asking God to not allow his son to grow up to be like him. And his wife had gone to Alice, Texas, and there was a meeting there, and she went to it. And she got saved. And the minister came and asked him if he would attend the meeting, so he did one night. And he believed on the name of the Lord, and he was mightily saved, converted, free, and rejoicing in the salvation of our God. And so for 2 years with his wife, he earnestly sought for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized in water, but you need to be baptized in power. And so they began to seek for Jesus to fill them with the promise of the Father, and this power would come upon him. And finally one night, they were praying, and they were in a brush arbor. And after the meeting, hands were laid upon him, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. So he jumped up speaking in other tongues, and his hand went up, and it got caught in the chicken wire. Okay, they're in a brush arbor. And there he hung, speaking in other tongues. And as he looked down, he saw that his wife had been filled with the Holy Spirit now, and she was speaking in other tongues. As you know, Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost can be used as the same thing. And all night long, that's a good feeling, isn't it? All night long. I remember when Nathan got filled. He went for a long time in El Dorado, Texas. We were the last ones to leave the building, but he really got the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget that night, Nathan. And they poured out their spirit in other tongues as rivers of living water poured forth from their innermost being. And I want to tell you, you're going to need the baptism in the Holy Spirit to be able to stand and hold up and to last in these closing days. For when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting like this morning. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, separated tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And here's the conjunction. What did they do when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I was just asked to speak at the Regional Adult and Teen Challenge Conference in the Houston area just a few days ago. And I went and I felt so inadequate. And they said, we want you to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we want you to give an altar call for these students to be filled. They've all been on drugs. They need to be set free. They need everything that the Lord, they need this power encounter. I knew I couldn't do it, but I knew Jesus could do it. And that night I walked in and I was teamed up with a professor from Evangel University who had quit teaching there, and now she's over the Regional Adult and Teen Challenge. But she was full of the Holy Ghost. And so we walked to the back of that building and we started walking, and she said, "Oh, there's 400 here." And I'm telling you, they were packed in there, and I'm like, "God, I can't do this." Anyway, made our way down the front, and they turned over to me eventually. And I just preached on the Holy Spirit, just best I could. And those students, they were really listening. And when I gave about two-thirds away through, I just shut the message because it was time right then, the waters were troubled. And I gave the altar call, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm not embellishing and I'm not exaggerating because that's sin. But they rushed the platform coming up there. I couldn't even get down to pray for anybody because they were so packed around the front wanting to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm Lord, what do I do? And I just start walking around. I said, everybody just start praising God. Told the guy on the keyboard, holding the music down so I can hear them and they can hear me. And so we started going. We just started praising God, thanking for everything you could ever think of. They were just, it was like a roar going up. They were just thanking and praising God. And all of a sudden, I just gave the command of faith, and I said, "Speak in the name of Jesus." And suddenly, it turned from English into other tongues. And there was a roar of tongues going up across that place as Jesus baptized those adult and teen challenge students with the Holy Spirit. To God be the glory. The lady, she was up there, she told me afterward that over 200 were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I gave him credit and I gave him glory. And this week in class, I just finished teaching a class. And a student walked up to me, we were in the gym. And she said, "I want Jesus to fill me with the Holy Spirit." I said, "Right here?" She goes, "Yes." I said, "Okay." We prayed right there in the gym, and Jesus baptized that young lady with the Holy Spirit as she began to speak in other tongues and received a glorious experience. You need that power from on high. A man by the name, I'll call him John, so because this is online, he was the son of a leader of Hamas. He was converted from Islam to Christianity, and he spied for Israel for 10 years. Then he moved to the United States, and he saved many Israeli and American lives by giving them intelligence information. And it looked like the United States was going to send him back to the Mideast, where he would be cruelly killed for converting to Christianity and giving the United States and Israel information about this terrorist group. But, here's the scripture, prayer was made without ceasing by the church to him. Don't ever quit praying because God will do something. Just like he did for Peter. And members of Israel's parliament and some of the members of Congress wrote letters. And on June the 29th of that year, it seemed like a given that the Department of Homeland Security was going to deport John. But on that day, by a strange turn of events that even left the media in amazement, the Department of Homeland Security withdrew their case, and this Christian named John was granted freedom to continue to live in the United States, for the scripture was fulfilled that simply says, "Call unto me, everybody in here, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of." Please don't let that verse become trite to you. Let it become new to you. So the church prayed, and God answered. And he's living here now. He could die at any moment, and that's the price tag of John's freedom. Brigitte Gabriel, you've heard of her. She's brought up in Lebanon. Her mother was injured and spent time in the hospital. And Brigitte observed the kindness of the Israeli nurses and doctors in the hospital. And she saw the vast difference in them and the Muslims. And she had grown up in a Christian home and in a Christian family. But she was determined to get out of that country of Lebanon to freedom. So she spent her childhood hiding in bomb shelters, and she was attacked by indigenous Muslims. But finally she, and don't get me wrong, I pray for the Muslims, I was praying for them on the way. I pray every one of them have a dream tonight revealing Jesus to them. I want them all to be saved. And she finally got to the USA, and she's now a Christian Lebanese American journalist plus many other titles. And she tells it like it is. And John Hagee interviewed her on his program, and she had written a book about her life. And the price tag on Brigitte Gabriel's life is that she lives knowing that she's being tracked every day over here. But she also knows that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Take Stephen in the Bible. He died of stoning. Now, in stoning, most of the time, they dig a hole in the ground, just big enough for the person to stand in. They drop them down in it, and then the top of the hole comes to their waist, or their chest, or their neck. And they stand in that hole with no way to defend themselves as people throw stones at them until they are dead. And as the stones crush Stephen, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he looked up, and he saw Jesus standing. Maybe Jesus had been sitting. The fact that it says he was standing on the right hand of the Father. And Jesus said, Stephen, welcome home. Hallelujah. The price tag on Stephen's freedom from earth to glory was stoning. But he could say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The apostles and many of the New Testament leaders, they paid a great price for the freedom to live in heaven with Jesus. History records that Simon Peter was crucified with his head down. John was exiled alone on the Isle of Patmos. Matthew was cut to death in Persia by the people. Mark died as his two legs were pulled apart by horses. Dr. Luke was cruelly hanged. Philip and Simon were crucified on a cross. Bartholomew was skinned alive by the heathen. Thomas died as five horses pulled apart his body. The apostle James was beheaded by King Herod. Little James was cut up by a sharp saw. James, the brother of Jesus, was stoned to death. Thaddeus was bound to a pillar and died by arrows from the archers. Matthias was decapitated in Jerusalem. And Paul was a martyr under Nero. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, and we could go on. You see, the price tag of the apostles and others being delivered from this world into the presence of Jesus, they could declare that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable to his death. Antipas, you can read about him in Revelation 2:13. Jesus said to the church in Pergamos, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, and Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you. Now history records that just as Antipas was about to die, he declared, and I quote, I have lived my whole life for this day. And when I was about to help with my dad's funeral, I said, that's what my dad would say today if he could. I've lived my whole life for this day. And with that, they boiled him to death in the cavity of a bull. Surely he could say with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. The price tag on his freedom from this life to heaven was that. There's a video out there. It's called Hymn 10:28. I show it to my students every semester. It's taken from Matthew 10:28. You can find it on Rejoice Tube. That scripture says, fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And it's the truthful story of a teenage girl who was backslidden. She got away from God. Very beautiful girl. She got with the wrong crowd. She ended up getting shot, I believe, if I recall correctly, at a party. And she died twice in the ambulance. But they were able to resuscitate her back to life, and now she's on the ER table. And as she died, she descended into hell. And the horrors she experienced there in hell defy description. She was screaming as hideous demons inflicted her with pain. Snakes slithered around her in hell. Flames engulfed her, burning her flesh off her body, yet she was still alive. She could not quit living in hell. She could not die in hell. On earth, you get in such pain, Lord, just please let me die. Just let me die, because then you think you'll get out of your pain. There, you can't even look forward to dying. And I have never seen such a horrified, frightened person. But God, in his vast mercy, due to her praying mother, don't ever quit praying for your kids and your grandkids and all your family, he allowed her to be brought back to life. And at the end of the video, she compels people to live right, to live for Jesus, because she would never want anyone to experience this horror and never-ending hell. The price tag for her freedom from hell was a determined mother's prayer. And this young girl could probably sing this song. Glory to God. She could sing that because how many of you can sing that? His grace and mercy brought me through. I know I would be in hell right now if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God. And last of all, let me say something about Jesus, the Son of the living God. I know I've preached this before, but I want to preach it again because I love Jesus. You can't ever talk about Jesus too much. They couldn't find any fault in him, and due to the peer pressure of the Jesus haters, Pilate handed Jesus over to be whipped mercilessly, 39 ripping, harrowing lashes, with a scourge called a cat of nine tails, and it had bits of bone and metal laced in the tongues of the whip. And today we pray for the sick according to the scripture that with his stripes, like we did a while ago, we are healed. This atonement provided two things at least: healing for the soul and for the body. The price tag for our freedom from spiritual and physical infirmities. Then the soldiers plaited a crown of strong, thick, piercing Judean thorns, crammed it into his head and put a purple robe on him. And then jeering, they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him, they pounded him in the nose, the mouth, the face, everywhere. And then they crucified him, and Pilate had a title put on the cross: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Anything to try to soothe and pacify his part of the guilt in the crucifixion of Jesus being carried out. The Jews cried, "No, write on the title, he said that I'm the King of the Jews." And Pilate replied, "What I have written, I have written." And those passing by reviled him like people do today driving past this church, because they don't really have time for Jesus, so in a sense, they're reviling him. There's probably less than 1,000 people in this town in the house of God this morning, I would say. People that just drive by, don't have time. I wonder if they'll have time to schedule in the rapture of the church on the day the trumpet sounds. Did she say that? Did she go there? They mocked, saying, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." Then at about the sixth hour, noon, darkness fell all over the land until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Did anybody know it was black? Notice it was black dark at noon? And at that time, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You talk about feeling alone and rejected by even your family. He felt everything that you will ever feel in this room. But upon the heels of that, his heart recanted, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And after 6 hours of this incalculable, excruciating, beyond description suffering, Jesus cried the most famous sentence that's ever been uttered: "It is finished." Would you say it with me? "It is finished." One more time, make it strong. "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit, and he decided the time and the moment he died. They did not take his life from him. And at that moment, the 7 foot thick or so veil in the temple ripped like a rotten rag from the top to the bottom, and an earthquake erupted. And I quote, "Graves in the cemetery opened up, And many saints rose up out of their graves and went into the town talking to many people. You talk about a shocking series, of events, like you just buried your granddad. Hi, granddad. What are you doing up? I thought we just had your funeral last week. Anyway, shocking things happened, proving this wasn't an ordinary event. And the centurion declared after seeing all this, truly this was the Son of God. And they buried him, as you know, but on the third day, the stone was rolled away, and the angel said, Mary, go and tell that the Son of God has risen. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive and well. Hallelujah. That makes me happy. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet. This is the price tag Jesus paid for our freedom, so we don't have to suffer trillions of years in irreversible hell. And because he lives, you and I can live eternally with him. I know you've heard this before, but the Spirit impressed me after I argued with the Lord about using this illustration. Do it anyway. Somebody hadn't heard it. There's a wealthy man. He owned some airlines and gold mines, and he had no money problems. He had everything money could buy. He had one invalid son whom he dearly loved, and a maid he hired took care of this invalid son, and she would feed him. It was her responsibility to give him whatever he wanted and take care of him. And in process of time, this man died, leaving no will, it appeared, as they could never find his will. So there was a court-appointed attorney who came to his home and estate. And family members were invited to come and take whatever they wanted from the house. And finally, nearly everything had been spoken for, and they asked the maid if there was anything that she wanted. And there was a picture of this invalid son hanging on the wall. And she requested if she could have the one picture left of the invalid son. And as she removed the picture from the wall, an envelope fell from being attached to the back of the picture. And in the envelope was the man's will. And the will said, I quote, whoever loves my son is the heir to all that I own, end quote. God the Father is saying the same thing to you today. Whoever loves my son is the heir to all that I own. The price tag for your freedom was the Son of God dying on the cross for your sins. If you need forgiveness and you love his son, you will be heir to all he owns. Your freedom from sin, from guilt, from shame was paid for on the cross. He paid the price tag for you to be able to go up in the rapture. For any day the trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And I would just tell you this. I just did a little bit of math in my head, and this is only conjecture, all right? But there's 349 plus million people that live in America. 75 million of these are under the age of 12, which we'd call the age of accountability. So if the trumpet sounds, that would leave 274 adults with all the kids gone to heaven. And 62% of these 274 million adults claim to be Christians. That would leave 169 million adults who claim to be Christians. And out of that 169 million, only 37% attend church 1 to 2 times a month. That would mean, if that was any indication, 62 million adults would go to heaven in America on Rapture Day, and about 75 million children would go under the age of 12. That would mean 137 million in America would go to heaven on Rapture Day. 349 million minus 137 million gone would leave 212 million adults left behind here to go through the great 7-year tribulation with AI and the communist and the false religionist and the deep state elitist and the demon possessed telling you what to do in the most cataclysmic, catastrophic, apocalyptic horrors ever known to mankind. You can read about them in the book of Revelation, such as the water turning to blood, blackness that can be felt, maybe no electricity, scorpion, locust stinging you with pain that lasts for 6 months in the midst of scorching heat with probably no air conditioning. And that's just the USA I'm talking about. To say you do not want to be left here, to be left behind, is the understatement of all eternity. And here is a little illustration of possibly rapture day. Makes me think of chapel at my school. Would you bow your heads with me, please, Sister Norma? Would you come?